Welcome back to Proclaiming the One. Pastor Clint Poppy, Pastor Adam Moline, Vicar Albert Bader. We are looking at the readings for the 25th Sunday after Trinity. We took time in our first segment to look at our introit, Psalm 31, a beautiful psalm, marvelous construction of this particular introit. If you've ever been in distress in your life, or ever think you might be in distress at some point in your life, these words are for you. And it sets the stage beautifully for the rest of the readings and the distress that sometimes is before us. Our gospel reading is part of the last discourse of our Lord and Savior Jesus as recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 24, 15 to 28. Vicar, take it away.
Jesus said, "When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on the housetop not go down and take what is in his house. And let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And alas, for women who are pregnant, and for those who are nursing infants in those days, pray that your flight may not be in winter or on a Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not has been seen from the beginning of the world until now, no, and never will be. And if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders, so as to lead people astray, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. So if they say to you, 'Look, he is in the wilderness,' do not go out. If they say, 'Look, he is in the inner rooms,' do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather."
Wow, wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. How is that for a wonderful, wonderful theme for the reading? You know, the pastor, the vicar reads those words and says, "This is the gospel of the Lord." And people are going, "Oh, man, that's a pretty gruesome picture here." Boy, that's distress, isn't it? Thinking about the corpse and the vultures gathering. Death, destruction, evil at the end of the world. Pastor, I've got a couple of questions that I want to ask you about this text. And Vicar, while I'm asking him some questions, would you be so kind as to go to the book of Daniel and come up with a couple of selected verses with regard to this whole abomination of desolation, because Jesus says, Daniel teaches about it, Daniel explains it. I want to say the Ancient of Days is in Daniel 7, and the Abomination of Desolation is in Daniel 11. Is that correct?
11 and 12, I believe.
11 and 12? Okay, so pick out a couple of selected verses to teach and inform our hearers. But in the meantime, Pastor, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. You know, throughout history, there have been many times when people have wanted to point to specific instances, historical specifics of history with regard to this abomination of desolation, the altar being desecrated, pagan horses being ridden into the temple, all this kind of stuff. What is this abomination of desolation? Can you help us out?
Yeah, Jesus here is teaching about the future by talking about what happened in the past. And I think that's important for us to understand.
Okay, say that again, because I think that's a profound statement, and I want our hearers to be able to grasp it.
Jesus is teaching about the future by teaching us what happened in the past.
Okay, very good.
And so this term, abomination of desolation, is something that happens many times in the history of ancient Israel. Daniel talks about it, and then after the time of Daniel is the time of the Maccabees, when the people of Israel, they're back into the Promised Land, but they're not their own nation. There is a continuous war between the Seleucids and the Ptolemies, fighting back and forth over the land of Israel. It's right on their border, and some years one side owns them, and some years the other sides own them. And it all culminates in the time of a man named Antiochus Epiphanes, who really tries to take away the Jewish way of worship. He goes into the Holy of Holies in the temple. He puts pigs on the altar and all sorts of things, desecrating the Jewish worship and the temple. They, you talked about this a minute ago. They throw out the altar and they get a new one. They kick out the Greeks, which is what Antiochus Epiphanes is. He's a Greek. Maybe Alexander the Great conquered this huge area, and then he died, and the Seleucids and the Ptolemies are his successors. So that's one place where it takes place. You also have, just a few years before the birth of Jesus, about 50 years before the birth of Jesus, we have the Roman general Pompey Magnus, Pompey the Great, who goes into the Holy of Holies in the temple, and he comments in the Roman histories about how surprised he is that it was an empty room and that there was no statue of a god in there. You have coming up, and this is the one Jesus is pointing forward to, you have the Jews themselves fighting each other inside the city of Jerusalem as the future Emperor Titus is besieging the city outside and awaiting conquering the city, and Josephus talks about thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of people killed in the city of Jerusalem, the blood running deep from the Temple Mount, and the temple being burned down as the Romans are running in the burning building, pulling out the gold and the precious metals and taking those off captive to the Temple of Peace in Rome.
Give us a date. Give us a date for that, because that date is thrown around quite a bit.
Yeah, it's called the Tish B'Av, and usually falls in late summer, early August, according to the Jewish calendar, sometimes late as September. But it's in the year 70 A.D. that Titus destroys the Jerusalem temple. And Jesus is warning those who are going to be Christians, when you see these things happening, run for the hills. Don't stay in Jerusalem, because Titus is going to kill everyone there or lead them away into slavery for the rest of their lives or crucify them. And so you see there's all sorts of historical things in the past where Antiochus Epiphanes or Pompey the Great are teaching them what to look for when Titus comes. And then we can also take from that to all the other distresses that the church has faced and will face, and I think you see that more and more in our society today, persecution of the church that's coming.
Very, very well said, and you see the historical knowledge and brilliance of Pastor Moline demonstrated in that teaching moment there with regard to this. Vicar, I gave you an assignment of checking out in Daniel. Let's have the hard data from Scripture that Jesus is talking about in the book of Daniel. Go ahead and tell us where you're reading from.
Yeah, this is Daniel chapter 11, starting at the end of verse 30. He shall turn back and pay attention to those who forsake the holy covenant. Forces from him shall appear and profane the temple and the fortress, and shall take away the regular burnt offering. And they shall set up the abomination that makes desolate. He shall seduce with flattery those who violate the covenant. But the people who know their God shall stand firm and take action. So he's talking about there setting up a pagan idol or something like that in the temple of the Lord, in the temple at Jerusalem, and offering false worship and false sacrifices to that instead of worshiping the one true God. And it says right there that people are actually going to fall away. People who at one time were worshiping the one true God are going to fall away and do this and commit adultery against their God by breaking the first commandment, because they were already breaking the covenant. They were already being unfaithful. However, those who were faithful, those who knew the word of God, his promises for us, will stand firm, even though all this is going on around them.
So Daniel basically issues a call to action for the faithful. Now, there are some well-meaning Christians today. We would call them Zionists or Reconstructionists. Christian Reconstructionists, this is really big on certain cable networks, Pat Robertson types, and they hear this call to action because the temple was destroyed, the altar has been desecrated, the abomination of desolation has appeared, that the call to action is we need to raise money, we need to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, we need to reinstitute animal sacrifices, and then and only then will God's will be fulfilled and Christ will return. Why is this the wrong call to action, Pastor? And why is this missing the significance of everything that Jesus is talking about in this particular text?
Well, to start with, it's a understanding of these words that does not understand history, that does not take all the whole of Scripture into account, and is just kind of, I don't even know how to say it, except it's ridiculous. Jesus himself says that he supersedes the temple that was there in Jerusalem. The temple was the place where God was with his people, and now Jesus is that temple. He says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it back up, teaching that he is the new temple where God dwells. It's a misunderstanding history. Sure, the site of the temple now has the Dome of the Rock sitting there, but at one point the Dome of the Rock was a Christian church. Wouldn't God be happy with that? Where there's a Christian church back there, if he's truly a Christian God. But he's not talking about all these things. He's talking about Jesus. If we can find a way to interpret these words without Jesus being the central point and teaching, then we have misinterpreted these words. Maybe that's where we can stop here at this point.
Yeah, that is the key to understanding these words. Any attempt to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem or someplace else in Israel, reinstitute animal sacrifices, misses the point that Scripture teaches clearly. Jesus is the once and for all sacrifice for sin. Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is the fulfillment of all of the ceremonial law and ceremonial practices, the sacrifices in the Old Testament. They all find their fulfillment and conclusion in him. And to have a notion that we need to redo this or rebuild this counts Jesus' once for all sacrifice as a nothing. It is not a nothing. It is for you. And Jesus says, get ready. Daniel issues a call to action. How do we get ready? What do we do in getting ready? What is this call to action that Jesus is talking about? We're going to address these points when we come back from our break. This is Proclaiming the One. We're looking at the readings for the 25th Sunday after Trinity. Don't go away. We'll be right back.